Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, the word is out. They're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out, it's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 654, Reminiscing.
Reminiscing.
Is this a real word or a made-up word for this movie?
I think it's a real word.
I thought it was a real word.
When I typed it out in my email,
yeah, like you reminisce about...
I mean, I know you can reminisce, but I didn't know if reminiscence, like, I've just never heard that word spelled out in that... use, like, just by it. I don't know.
I always just thought it was going to be about that Little River Band song.
Especially
after I watched it. I was hoping. Let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. And joining us today via the magic of ZoomTube is Sharia Chavala. Please tell me I said that right.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, which one did I get wrong? Both?
The last one.
Okay, at least I got... Batting 500. That
that's
in the
pretty
Hall
good.
Of fame. Yeah. Say your name properly.
I mean, we're going to use my first name.
Okay.
For the most part anyway,
so well, I apologize. It's so hard. It doesn't stick in my head.
You got old man brain.
I do. Yeah. I'm in my 50s now. If I disappear, it's because I'm peeing. That's how
sorry,
that works.
How do you pronounce your name just to make sure that we get it right?
So it's Sharia Chavala. That's the name.
So the W has kind of a V sound.
Exactly.
Okay.
There you go.
There you go. So it's like they do that in it's like Volkswagen.
Yeah.
Right.
What
like
is
in,
happening
I'm just saying.
Right now.
Well, I'm just saying in different countries, like in Germany, they
Wagen. Yeah.
Volkswagen or in different countries. So it's like this has. Just think of it that way.
Yeah.
And do you drive a Volkswagen?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, one for two.
Also, batting 500.
I don't think I could afford a Volkswagen.
Oh,
anyway,
I think you could one. Maybe like a 96.
Well, after the whole diesel scandal, I think
yeah,
you could have
that's
got
also
bolt.
What did Vin Diesel do now?
Well, we don't have time.
I'm reading a book right now called The Secret History of Brands, and it's about famous brands that we still use today and the backstory and like the bad things they did at the beginning.
Yeah.
And it's okay. I bought it was on sale for like $2 and I was like, "Oh, that sounds interesting. I'll read it." But it's like so the first chapter was like, did you know Coca-Cola used to have cocaine in it? Yes.
Yeah, everybody knows that. Right.
Yeah.
And then after that, every chapter is like Hugo Boss.
Hugo Boss was the
Nazis.
Uniforms, right?
And then it was like, and then it was like Bayer aspirin. Nazis. Coco Chanel, Nazis. Like, everything is Nazis. And I'm just like, I mean, those are really bad, but I was looking for a little bit more texture in the book.
Sure,
not just
sure.
Everybody worked with the Nazis.
Right. That's how we got Captain America.
Yeah. So he worked with the Nazis too?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, Dr. Erskine did.
Okay.
Yes.
I was like, just everything is ruined.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yes, that's true.
It's just defected, like, right?
Yes, he did. Yes. Yeah.
But just, and like, I heard he drank that old timey Coca Cola, so you better watch out.
I did. It's in the movie.
So, hey, listen, listen, listen. We all hoped Coke had Coca-Cola. I mean, Coca-Cola had Coke in it sometimes. We all do that.
It depends what movie you're watching. Sometimes you really do.
Yeah,
and yeah, Bayer Aspirin also invented heroin.
That's true.
So
that was also what? True. Hold on.
Yeah.
What?
They invented heroin.
How? Like, what?
They were the first. They, like, removed the chemical from the plant and isolated it and then put it in cough syrup and sold it to kids.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, sold it to the parents to give it to
kids.
To
give it to the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you just want to, you know.
Well, it's like anything. They didn't know at the
time. You want them to nod off. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that'll do it.
That'll do it.
Yeah. It's like, why is my six-year-old listening to Velvet Underground?
And he's just drooling.
Yeah. How is happening? So,
but anything bad about hydroxychloroquine? That you found out?
All kinds of stuff.
It works like a charm. It works like a charm. And so does that medicine for horses.
Horses, yeah. Yeah. Or bleach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mix a little just to top it off for a little flavor. Oh, you add that to your hydroxychloroquine and victamine or whatever cocktail. Just a little bleach,
a little
for
bleach
flavor.
In there.
Gives it some nice coloring, some marbling kind of going
on. Well, the goal is to completely change your DNA.
Yes.
And destroy your veins.
But not your RNA.
And then
that's scary stuff. But you're not scared of anything.
No.
But it doesn't set in unless you lay in a UV bed.
Is that how that works?
You have to actually lock it in.
No, there are steps, Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, consult your doctor. That's spelled D-O-C-T-E-R.
Yes. Doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
So shameless plugs.
Shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts, you can find us. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week, trying to plow through these, Heather Sachs, Chris Williams, Gabriel Lugo, Ralph Tribble, Chris Magic Man, Tammy Sherman Powers, Julianne Jordan, Cinema Recall, In Session Film, Mike and Oscar, Colby Mack, The Movie Journey Podcast, Binge Movies, Ryan Terry from Four is a Crowd, who's looking for people to be in his next sitcom podcast.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So find him and submit your audition if you're interested.
It's fun, and they let me do a voice. So
really, the standards are pretty low. You got a shot. Ronnie Castle, Invasion of the Remake, Piecing It Together podcast, Chris Wilson, Feel and Film, Matt Naglia, and Geek to Me Radio. So thank you very much for doing that. And also don't forget, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content, and you help us out, and that's really nice of you. So there's all that. Let's dig in. This movie was a big steaming turd burger.
Man, it like if this didn't have Hugh Jackman.
Oh, did you like it? Did you?
I didn't hate it. I didn't hate it.
Oh my God, I hate it so much. 9 minutes and 46 seconds into the movie, I messaged Kevin on Facebook, and I was like, I know how this movie ends.
Of course you do. This is a 1930s. Private detective story,
which
a femme fatale,
which could be cool if it was done better.
But to be fair, though, like the end of the movie doesn't really have anything to do with the plot or who did it or who's involved. Like, it's not like you guessed every beat along the way. You're just like, I know how they're gonna frame this movie.
Yeah, I was just like instantly like he's in the memory bath the whole time.
Yeah,
I'm sure they had a special name for it, but in my head, it's memory bath.
I like the memory bath.
Yeah,
that's good.
I think it's called Reminiscence, or at least that's what the memories are called. I don't know if they ever had a machine other than, like, the name for the machine.
Because memory bath.
He calls memory them bath. Reminiscence. That's, yeah. So if you're wondering what that word is in this world, Hugh Jackman runs this company. He used to be in the war.
Does he run a company?
Well, I mean, who?
He's the only one that has one of these things?
No. I mean, at the end, Tandy Newton works for a company that has them all.
And if there's this big badass company
that
looks like an Apple bar, why would they go to this guy who's got like a old jalopy version in a burned out warehouse?
Because it's cheap. Like the world has collapsed. People don't have
But the DA's using them.
Why would the DA use him and not the company? That's probably bonded and be able to avoid getting sued.
That's fair. The only thing I can think of is that he's the best Nick Bannister, is that his name? He's the best at what he does, sir. And maybe he but is willing why to would, do
did
things.
You just make a Wolverine reference?
Why wouldn't...
What?
I'm the best there is at what I do?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's the best at what he does, and he...
Then why wouldn't they hire him over at Apple? The Apple version of this
I don't
thing.
Think he would ever...
It's not about the money, Tom. We learned that 2 weeks ago with the movie from last 2 weeks ago from Free Guy. It's not about the money.
Yeah, same.
I think Lisa Joy, I think, is very talented.
Very talented.
I think Westworld is a very good show. The third season, meh. But seasons one and two are a very good story.
I think the third season's great. Westworld is phenomenal. Tom, you don't watch Westworld?
I watched the first season, and then I never really kind of circled back around for the next seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great show.
It's insanely good. And it's an insanely brilliant concept. And I think that's what this is. Is like the concept of this movie.
It
I
looked
think is
neat.
Really
I liked,
good.
I liked all the flooded out Miami stuff.
I like a good real science fiction movie that's not aliens or whatever. Yeah. Like in the future, we have different stuff. It's science. You know, this is a little Blade Runner-esque. Like he's wearing kind of the same stuff.
A little?
The narration, the look narration. Of the city. Yes. I mean, it's very Blade Runner.
Right. The problem is... Tom and I think both in agreement that the first Blade Runner is a snooze.
Yeah, hot take. Blade Runner's boring.
Yeah, second Blade Runner, really good. I'm not saying it's not a bad movie. The first Blade Runner is a snooze.
I like it's a great looking movie, and I don't know that there would be the passion for it if it wasn't for the fact
there's 900 different versions of it.
Well, that you didn't get movies like that.
That's
when
fair.
That movie came out. Like everything they were few and far between. So when you would get a well made one, even if it was kind of slow, like you would really embrace it. And I remember being as a kid, like reading all the Starlog articles and stuff because I was a kid when it came out.
Sure,
100 years old. And
I was a kid too when the 9th version of it came out.
but we couldn't go see it because it was rated R, and so but all we had
it's crazy because there's no reason for it to be rated R.
I don't know, they show boobs or something.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
do there's
yeah,
three they boobs, do. Right?
Or that's Total Recall.
Oh. Total Recall.
True.
Kevin
Which
thinks everything
interestingly, Total Recall. I remember I watched the first time on like cable or something like that, and I was like, "Why is this rated R?" And then I watched it on Blu-ray, and I was like, "Oh, they
you know what it was? I was just crossing my eyes during that one scene. That's
no, is that how it happened? Yeah,
he has dyslexia. He has a very rare form of boob dyslexia.
It's like face blindness, but
for boobs.
Yeah, I mean, I get 50% more. So, yeah.
Hey, an extra one. If this didn't have Hugh Jackman and Rebecca
Ferguson,
thank you.
Ferguson.
I would have turned it off.
Yeah.
Like, she's one of the loveliest human beings.
I got to tell
ever,
you,
right?
She is the probably one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen.
I mean, she's a fantastic
Next
actor.
To your wife, of course.
That doesn't count.
No, she's a fantastic actor. I think she's great in everything she does. I mean, Dr. Sleep.
Man,
oh my gosh.
She is haunting.
Is she
in
not
that movie.
Incredible in
yes.
that role?
Yes.
I think she's great in everything from Greatest Showman, Mission Impossible, Doctor Sleep. She's phenomenal, but she is so stunning. Every time the camera's on her, though, it is like hypnotizing.
She's magnetic.
She has that look, kind of like The Rock does for actors, like we say, where there's just that charisma factor where you can't take your eyes off them.
Yes.
You know, we said it with multiple actors, but he's one and she's another where no matter what movie she's in.
She, you know, I have my feelings about Tom Cruise. I think he's a piece of crap. Oh. I do. I think he's an awful human being.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that?
Let's count the ways.
Okay.
Scientology for one. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people
the whole,
in that.
You know, you realize that whole thing that he put out about him, like, screaming at those people about masks was all bullshit.
What do you mean?
There's a hero complex to that thing, right? So he dresses them down and screams at them, and he's like, I'm doing this for you, and I love it. Like, so it's just like this whole hero worship. Like, look at how good I am. Look at how proud or how whatever. He's an awful human being.
I mean,
being.
I took that as pretty serious, though, because they had just opened up production, one of the first opened back up during COVID, and then if someone gets a COVID test, it shuts people's jobs down for 2 weeks. I mean, and it's a lot of money. I took that as pretty genuine.
I don't at all. Oh, I don't take anything he does genuine.
All right. So he's like Daniel Day-Lewis Jr. to you.
No, because I feel like Daniel Day-Lewis at least is just like not completely wackadoo.
Okay,
like there's a reason you don't see him with his daughters anymore. How about that?
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
But when he's on screen, right? Like he does have that magnetic charisma.
He's a movie star.
He's a movie
I mean, there's
star.
A reason Tom Cruise is a movie
but
star.
But when she's on screen with him, to me,
who's she?
Rebecca Ferguson.
But you're talking about Tom Cruise and Rebecca Ferguson?
Yeah, they're in the Mission Impossible movies together.
Oh, in that movie. Okay, I'm sorry. I was just
trying
to... Okay, got it.
So, but like,
she can even steal the show from Tom Cruise,
yes,
who has that quality,
yes,
right? But that's what I'm saying. Rebecca Ferguson has this aura around her, right? I mean, yeah, she's beautiful. She's a talented actor, but she has that it factor,
yes,
that catapults people from just being a good actor to a movie star, right?
Yes.
Some people have that, like the classic movie stars when you think of the Clark Gable or, you know, just
Clark Gable.
Yeah.
I love Clark Gable.
Clark Gable's great.
Yeah.
So you think you
know who else I liked?
Who's that?
Humphrey Gogart.
Oh,
Gogart? You know who's fantastic? Josh Brolin.
Yeah. No, that was James Brolin.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
We're talking about classic movie stars, Joe. You're getting a little bit
apologize,
out of your time
I apologize.
Period. So yeah, she's phenomenal. So if you put Rebecca Ferguson in a movie, sign me up.
Yeah.
She always is good.
Yes. And so, and Hugh Jackman is the same. Like, well, here's the other thing with Hugh Jackman is just in movies like this, just let him have his accent. Like, who cares if he has an Australian accent or not?
I think he's really good at doing the American accent, but I don't know why.
He's had a lot of practice.
I don't know why the choice. Yeah, because he always does.
Yeah, there's no reason that he needed to be American in this.
No, or Tandy Newton for that matter.
I guess it's just his, like, movie star persona. Like, there's, I mean, even though we clearly know he's Australian, you never hear him outside of interviews be Australian. So
no.
I don't know if that's
what
just
about
like,
that movie, Australia?
No, they said, hey, you got to do an American accent.
He had a British accent in that one.
But, yeah, I don't know why they do that. But the thing with this movie, to me, it's so weird because the creatives and the cast
are
so good, right?
Yeah,
you've got
Joseph Nolan as well. Jonathan Nolan is involved as well.
Well, I think he's just probably a producer with his wife.
Still.
Well, yeah, but I'm just, okay, but what I mean is that, you know, she wrote this script years ago, right? Do you guys know the story behind this?
No.
She wrote this script years and years ago. It was on the Hollywood blacklist. She sold it for $1.7 million.
Dang.
She's been trying to make it for 10 years. So she sold it already for $1.7 million, never got made. And then she gets paid again to write and direct this or, you know, whatever. She's got all the credits on it or the main ones. And so this is clearly a passion project for her. So you've got her involvement. You've got Hugh Jackman, Rebecca Ferguson, like you mentioned, Tandy Newton. This movie should work. And I was so excited to see this movie.
I agree.
And
I was super excited about
it. I don't think it was a complete failure. Like, I'm not on the this is the worst movie I've ever seen type of hyperbole or anything. But it's not good. And I wanted to love it so badly. But from the moment it opens, that Miami CGI
when
they fade in.
That was
horrendous.
Terrible. That was CW level.
It was really bad. Yeah. And later you see the city in water, and it's during the daytime. Usually it's harder to make things look real at day. Usually nighttime's easier.
Yeah.
And it looked fine, but I'm like, why did they open with... I thought, is this all a simulation? It looked like a video game type.
Sure, sure.
Now, I don't know if that's supposed to allude to, he's reminiscing, so it's not really real. I don't know if that's an Easter egg or just bad CG.
But if that's the case, then it should have always looked like that.
Yeah, because it doesn't
improve.
Because
the entire movie is him in the memory bath.
Yeah, I don't know if it... Again, I just don't know if they were trying to, like, introduce you to the world through something that was uncanny to give you kind of a clue, because sometimes...
Or did you acclimate? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that, like, after you're watching for a while, like, it kind of, you know, like when you watch a black and white movie and 10 minutes in, you kind of forget that it's black and white. You know?
Yes.
I mean, it looked good, though. I mean, it really, during the daytime.
It had moments.
When they have this scene of them, whoever on the water, and then you see a big city behind them, like, it looks better. So why did they open like that? And Hugh Jackman, I love, one of my favorite actors, but he did not work for me in this. I don't think he was right for the detective, you know, noir. Something just didn't work.
He's not gritty.
Yeah,
talking about Wolverine, and you're just like, that guy doesn't work. But I agree with you. Like, there is something about him in the role of Wolverine that just works. And maybe that's because he's the only Wolverine we've had, and we've never seen anybody else do that character.
Yeah.
And he's figured that out.
But that character isn't even that gritty in the comics, though. Like, the movie Wolverine isn't that gritty.
In the comics, he's very gritty.
Yeah, but I feel like he has more of a sarcastic or a smartass.
No.
I mean, he does.
Not Deadpool, but I mean,
he started that way for sure. But then, like, as it progressed, it got darker and darker.
Well, as they match the movies, but I just mean, like, not Deadpool, but I feel like he does have a little bit more of a humorous, sarcastic, like, humor side to him, and he plays it so serious in the movies.
I will say, go back and read the, I think Chris Claremont and Frank Miller did a 4-issue, the original 4-issue miniseries.
Sure,
that is not funny.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And then Chris Claremont, I think...
Frank Miller
just drew it.
Right.
Chris Claremont wrote it.
Yeah.
And then Claremont goes on to write, a big chunk of that very early run. And it's, I mean, It's Hugh Jackman is funnier in the movies than Wolverine ever is. Wolverine is like a badass,
yeah,
like killer,
yeah,
in the comics. And the cartoons prettied him up a little bit and made him not as, you know, they did a cartoon version of him. And
which I get.
Totally get, yeah, it, right? Like, it's, you can't have him gutting people and, you know, in the,
it's not invincible.
Well, I think also, oh, man, when you talk so about the charisma of Hugh Jackman, he's another one,
yes,
who has that movie, yes, star quality. So when you pair him and Rebecca Ferguson back and forth, it's like, yeah, those two are stars.
Yeah.
But I think,
okay,
just,
does Hugh Jackman have another hit?
I mean, The Greatest,
okay,
Showman,
Greatest
was,
Showman.
A big, was a big
Greatest
Showman.
Showman was big.
Yeah, okay. But
I mean, him as Wolverine,
but
in all,
I don't, I like,
is,
I can't really think of a lot of
Kate and Leopold.
Big Hugh Jackman movies outside of Wolverine one. And then Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
that's
know.
A good question.
I just
The Prestige?
That wasn't a big hit.
But that wasn't a big hit.
Oh, man, but he was really good.
I mean,
it was a good movie.
He was
really
good.
Prisoners. I mean, he's been in great,
oh,
movies.
Yeah, Prisoners.
Prisoners was good, but again, not a,
yeah,
not a big giant.
I mean, as far as a hit, I think the X-Men stuff, I mean, that's what made him a star in 2000. He,
yeah, and I guess
standout.
I'm trying to make the argument, yeah, that I think it might be the only thing that makes him a star.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's undeniably talented. Maybe
absolutely.
He's just not taking the right roles.
Yeah,
but,
I'm just, but
or he's sitting on that giant Wolverine paycheck. He's like, yeah, man, I'll do The Greatest Showman, I guess. I'll do this little bit part in Free Guy. Fine, but he's made, I mean, he had to, he, I guarantee
Hugh Jackman, you, isn't a guy doing anything for the money though.
He does not have to work anymore,
yeah,
if he,
oh,
doesn't want
clearly.
To,
oh, sure,
but he's still not doing stuff for the money though.
He will be when Marvel's like, hey,
oh,
hey,
I don't,
let's
know,
back this truck up and see what happens.
Maybe someday in like some alternate timeline he shows up like with a shirt on, right? Because like, he can't do that forever. So the point is, you've got all these elements in here and I think they just didn't work, which is a shame because it had so much potential. I think it's an interesting idea.
I think it's a really cool idea.
Yeah, it is kind of Minority Report-ish, like in a different way, but right, the
it's
police
like a,
using these people to, instead of future crimes, they're looking at past things and solving them through memories.
I want to see that like court hearing where you have to apply for a search warrant for somebody else's brain.
I know
waves.
like it was the fringe stuff that right. I was like, well, that's interesting, when, yeah, they're like, we got a subpoena but we can only go into his memories for 10 years and like,
yeah,
you know, and
that's kind of cool. I'd be like, let's, yeah, do that, because, well, I did think at one point, I know that I've talked about it before, that the third episode of the first season of Black Mirror is kind of this, right? Like, it's all of our memories are stored on a tiny little hard drive that you just stick in the back of your head and you can go back and rewatch those memories whenever you want. And I thought when I saw this trailer, because the Downies optioned that, like they picked up the rights to that, and I was like, oh, so when I first saw this trailer, I was like, is this that? And if it is, why is this not Robert Downey Jr.?
Well, I'll tell you why, because in 2014, film professor and screenwriter Scott Myers interviewed his former student, Lisa Joy, so 2014, about the script she sold in 2013, it was actually, to Legendary Pictures for a reported $1.25 million. So, I mean, Black Mirror could have
kind of
gotten the,
yeah,
idea from, this was on the blacklist, like people in the industry,
oh,
knew about it.
Sure, sure, sure.
So, and again, I'm not saying they did.
Man,
what
we're
I mean,
gonna get sued.
But I mean, this is almost 10 years she's been working on this. I mean,
yeah,
she's probably been working on it longer. So, you know, that could be just a coincidence, or it could be they heard something of the idea, or hell, Minority Report, whatever. But I don't think that this feels, it does feel original to me, even though there are things that it seems similar to, like it reminds you a little of Minority Report or whatever. I think the concept's original and clever enough. I think maybe the screenplay is where it really lacks. Like, there are some really bad lines of dialogue in this,
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, very bad. And
you've got great actors delivering,
yeah,
them that should know how to take a line, but it felt a lot of it was like either narration or flashbacks, and they were just kind of droning these lines out.
Yeah.
And without you really making it your own and owning it, those lines just come across, you know, face value. We're like, ugh.
Yeah.
I was kind of like invested in the whole, like when they set up the whole world and then you had, you know, him searching through like years and years of things, like when he starts out, like he meets that guy and it's like, oh, this was 5 years ago, something like that, right? And when he starts going down that rabbit hole, it's like, okay, this is interesting. I mean, it's like, I wonder who this person is, what's going on with her, even though kind of feel like you knew where it was going in terms of things. Like, I don't know, personally, I was into it.
Yeah,
I,
yeah,
that's fine if it worked for you. It just didn't for me.
It feels so, like,
that's
we
fair, that's fair.
We as the, in the, in, you know, with the pandemic, we went back and watched a bunch of older stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Those episodes are all available on whatever podcast streaming.
For free.
So when we watched Casablanca, I kind of fell down a rabbit hole of like 30s and 40s noir, like detective noir movies.
Yeah.
And this is the exact same setup.
Absolutely.
Well, sure. So I think
Maltese Falcon.
Yeah, it's the same thing, right? Like private detective, femme fatale comes in, gives him a case.
With gams for days.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They fall for each other, or he's falling for her.
Or she using him.
Correct.
Like, yeah, totally.
So like, I was on board.
What's the one with the sister where the person comes in and it's really...
It's the Maltese Falcon, isn't it?
Chinatown.
Is it Chinatown? Yeah. Oh. I felt a lot of Chinatown in this.
Yeah,
thing.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Which I know kind of is like, that's one of the greatest.
It is the greatest. I think it's the greatest.
But you know, but I'm not saying it's not the first, but it's like recognized
as being. It perfected it.
Exactly. And so this movie.
Neo-noir is what
they call it. Yes, neo-noir.
Yeah, so I think this movie is like Blade Runner, Chinatown, Minority Report. Those were like my three kind of mashed together that I was feeling.
And Inception.
Going back to dreams and stuff like that. I could see that.
Can I throw one more?
Yeah,
absolutely, please.
Yeah, Ghost in the Shell. Especially with, if you've seen it, like, you know, the deep dive technology Major uses to go into, like, the suspects, like, to go through their memories and see what happened, the incident.
Yeah.
So to piece clothes together.
That's really good one.
I didn't even felt like that at times.
God, I didn't even think about that. And recently people online have been talking about all these movies that quote unquote rip off from animes
all the time,
you know, like
all the
from
time.
Requiem for a Dream to was it Inception?
What
that
did
you
Inception
just mentioned
do? Oh, with Ghost in the Shell.
No, there's another, there's an anime,
you
that
know,
I,
there's more than one anime, right?
There's another,
no,
anime.
There's
one that I haven't
there's
seen.
Akira, that's it.
Akira Ghost in Shell, that's it.
I haven't seen whatever it was, but they were sharing screenshots and similar ideas. There's just been this, like, recently I've seen this conversation ramp up about all these movies, and, like, with Requiem for a Dream, which I love that movie, but Aronofsky said...
Do you love that movie?
Yeah.
Man.
The best, not saying I watch it every day, but
the best movie you'll never watch.
Yeah. That's kind of, I guess that's fair.
I mean, like, it's a phenomenal
film. I will
film.
Never watch it again. I watched it once. I'll never do it again.
That's one of the films that made me fall in love with film.
Really?
Like, what is the
stuff? No,
like,
no,
the
brilliantly
made movie.
Yeah, the artistry behind it, right?
Sure,
the visuals
sure.
it, the storytelling, the acting, Marlon Wayans. Like, I wish he would do more dramatic stuff because he's so good in that. Everything.
I just saw Respect. I don't know that you do.
Yeah, you can't even name him Marlon Wayans.
He was
what are you
fine.
Talking
it wasn't
about?
Him. It was a bad.
He's really good in everything for sure. But like in Requiem for a Dream, he's really good, and he's not playing like not hamming it up. You know, he's great comedic talent, but also that the dramatic stuff he's good at too. So but like Darren Aronofsky says, it's homage. And then they were doing an interview with one of the I'm not familiar with the anime that they were referring to, and if you know about this controversy, if you like anime, you know Blue Ruin or something.
Ruin's a different movie.
Okay, Blue, it's something with I think blue in the title, but
Blue Harvest.
No.
Oh.
No.
But the director or storyboard artist or someone involved with that movie was like, yeah, he says...
Yeah, Perfect Blue.
A Perfect Blue?
Yeah.
Okay. So this guy says, oh, Aronofsky says it's homage, but, you know, look at how he's living and how I'm living. You know,
sure,
I mean, it was
sure.
something sad. Like, it's really honest and brutally honest and sad. And then him and the interviewer kind of laughing about it, like, ha, 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 ha. Like it's very awkward because it's like, man, this guy's pouring his heart out and saying, like, yeah, that's. I'm glad that was an homage, but I didn't see anything from it. And it's, you know, is it a little bit more than homage? Maybe so.
How long until Tarantino's last movie is just an anime?
Yeah, could be.
No.
So
Volume 3.
I know. But this movie, I wanted to love. Let's talk about the premise a little bit. What Hugh Jackman's
so
doing.
So Hugh Jackman, he runs this. Like we said, it's like a Miami post a war. And it looks like the ice caps have melted to a point where, like, Miami's almost completely underwater. So he's running this reminiscence bank out of an old bank. And what you do is you come in and you pay a price and you can relive some of your favorite memories. And then I don't know why they're recording them.
I
that seems kind of shady.
Yeah, I don't know why Hugh Jackman's collecting them.
I think I took it as... That's how he helps guide what's going on. He has to see what's happening.
But why does he record it rather than watch it is what he's asking.
Right. Like
why does he keep
it?
Well,
safe...
I mean, that's in case he sees something dirty and it's really hot.
Sure. Yeah, which he does.
Yeah.
Ellie May.
Yeah.
Right?
Isn't
that who she is in Westworld?
It's a...
Clementine?
He's doing...
Oh, Clementine, yeah.
He's doing this in a bank, right? It's a spank bank.
A sperm bank.
Right.
Yeah. That's what it is.
But
well, see, he's helping solve the cases. I guess that's why he's recording it, because it's like just in case someone comes out of it, like that.
Well, for the records. For the cases, and maybe the ones he's recording are all the.
But didn't he? Well, they
no, because the one guy you see is going back to
looking,
you know,
at his dog.
But dude, who did they ever show him actually have a recording of that?
Yeah, he puts a little disc in there.
Because he gives it to him at the end, gives him the memory.
Well, if he gives
it, like, here, you can keep this.
Well, if he gives it, maybe he records them and gives them to people that are doing it for fun.
Well, no, see, that's,
and he
that,
keeps
this
them
is,
for the
this
criminal
is the problem,
cases.
Right? Is
we
because
don't know. Yeah.
They when the gal who plays Clementine in Westworld shows up in this as well, and she keeps reliving the same memory over and over and over, and Tandy Newton again says, like, here, take this, and Hugh Jackman's like, hey, what are you doing? Like, she has to pay us to get here, and she's like, I'm tired of looking at that old man's pasty butt. And I was like, that's a funny line, because that would suck.
Yeah.
Like, if you got to run that machine and you got some old dude or some, you know, I'm like, man, if I got to look at that old man's balls one more time, I swear to God.
So that's a good question. But in any event, he helps people relive their memories. He says it basically because the Miami and I guess
it's
other
Miami,
parts.
It looks like they base this in Miami and New Orleans.
But the world's been flooded.
They go to New Orleans at one point, but it's they're in Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so things have been flooded. It's so it almost looks like a post-apocalyptic. Things are bad. It looks really bad, but underwater. And so he says people's happiness runs on nostalgia.
Oh, we should say it's because it's the global warming. Like, I'm not even making that up. Like, they reference that Miami is shut down during the daytime because it's so hot that Miami, they sleep during the day because it's so hot. They can't be outside, that then they come out at night because it's cooler. And that's when, like, Miami comes alive.
So this is kind of a warning.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, but so,
you know, but I guess if you put it far enough in the future, the theory is it's going to happen.
Right, right.
You know, if we don't do something, it's going to happen.
So nostalgia is the only thing that gives these people happiness, because everything's flooded and terrible, and it's just this horrible place to live in. So that's why he operates this, and he does a lot of favors for people. He's one of those
helps his buddy
businesses that just like keeps saying it's on the house,
yeah,
right? And Tandy Newton says,
any money.
This is going to collapse if we put anything else on the house. And right. And then one day, a dame walks in.
A dame walks in, and she's like, I can't find my earring. He was like, hop in. And she strips in front of him. And of course, being the modest man, he turns around, and I was like, you dope.
He's a respectful. Hugh Jackman, I would expect nothing less.
That's fine.
He does seem like the nicest guy, really.
And then they start this courtship where they're together, and he sees her sing at this I mean, probably the most 40s noir detective noir scene you could do is
at the club with a big microphone.
Is a musical interlude where the gal sings, and you know,
with the big circle mic.
Yes,
and,
exactly. And he falls in love,
and she walks around the bar, and I was just like, no one would be interested in this. This is not anything anyone would. You would be like,
I gotta tell you, Rebecca Ferguson's walking around in a dress like that.
You'd be like,
I'd be interested.
Let's go find a different bar.
But if everyone loves nostalgia so much, maybe they are harkening back to
marry it.
But that is a good point, though. Like, if everybody's living a nostalgia, having some, you know, like we do it now, right? Like,
cling to better times.
Or just like things that take you back, or things that were cool back then are cool again now.
And I think being a noir, that's just, they harken back to, even though it was, you know, obviously in color and very high definition, crisp looking, but the styling and the outfits and the, you know, they were trying
it's not black and it isn't color, but the color palettes they use are very, makes you feel like you're watching
muted. Yeah, they did little things to make your brain kind of feel like, oh, I'm watching one of those old timey noirs.
Yes.
And but every time Hugh Jackman would come on the narration, again, as much as I love the guy, I think he's great, but it just didn't, it wasn't believable.
You know what I thought of is Marv in Sin City. And not in a good way. Like, that's just where my brain automatically goes.
I was kind of like, stop narrating, because I just wanted to watch. I was kind of like being one of those Blade Runner people that doesn't want the narration.
Can you just get a thought bubble? Like, that would make life. I'll just read it.
And I also think the narration, as narration often does when it's overused, I thought they kind of gave you too much. I don't like it when they're just explaining every scene to you. Like, I get that you're, you know, a dame walks into my office and like setting it up. But the way that he narrated throughout, and it was like, oh, and this was that earring that she dropped earlier. Like, don't say, if you're watching the movie, you should be able to deduce. Like, when he goes and sees how the earring was dropped later, he goes, she left that for me on purpose. I'm like, oh my God, stop.
There's a lot of spoon feeding in this
that,
movie.
And I think that's a little bit from, you'll have to tell me if you guys think that from like Westworld season two, like Westworld season two was amazing, but it was also very crazy with the
time jumps,
the time jumps, and figuring out what was what. And season three, I think, was a direct response to season two.
They dumbed it down a little
bit. And now
bit.
The people that loved season two were really mad because it was too straightforward. I still think it was great, but that was a big complaint. And I feel almost like this movie, she was leaning into that a little bit, like, well, I know that we're doing a lot of stuff here with memories and time, and so I'm going to make it more clear for people. But I think that gave the exact same response.
I think there's a fine line in science fiction. And I mean like science fiction, right? Like no aliens, no weird, but I mean like something like Blade Runner, where you can't go so far where you have to explain it, but you can't go so the opposite way where it's dumb, right? Where you're spoon feeding everything. And there are very few science fiction movies that can walk that line. It's a really hard line to walk.
It's difficult. And if you're not going to give me that, if you know, that's even though I'm complaining about the spoon feeding, right? Like if they don't make things clear like that, then the movie better have a really good payoff to justify why you haven't been kind of holding my hand through it. Right.
I think Terminator does a really good job of that. I think the first Terminator, yes, I think it's more of a horror movie, but that's my take on it.
No, I agree wholeheartedly.
But they give you the idea, right? The world has ended. The machine's won. They're sending this machine back to win the war permanently, right? So it's in the science fiction world, but it's also it's not a difficult concept to understand. The Abyss, I think, is another one that can two James Cameron movies, but so maybe.
How about The Thing?
The Thing is a remake. Horror movie. Oh
yeah,
it's a horror movie. Yeah. So like that's a different beast altogether. True. Literally and figuratively.
But that's got the sci-fi element to it, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But they explain it so simply where it's like, hey, that's a parasite that's turning into other people. Right. Burn it.
True. It's not quite as. You know what I mean? Like Prometheus, you think is. I love
the
Prometheus.
First Alien? Yes.
The first Alien, definitely.
Prometheus has problems.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the first Alien is one of the best. But that's what I mean, though. Like, that's dealing with aliens in space. Where Blade Runner is just like, we're in the future and we have different tech.
But I think Total Recall, too, is kind of
Total Recall.
Because I know that in Total Recall, you get to actually live those dreams.
And three boobs.
And right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to actually put my glasses on for that because I don't want five. It's
why?
It's too much.
It's too much.
Too much.
Just, yeah,
nobody said that. Nobody's ever said that, ever.
Is that...
Yeah. But, I think there are probably some people who've said it.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, if,
hey,
if not even, at the very least, the women who have had breast reduction.
That's fair.
They have said
that's
it.
That's totally
they
fair.
Have said
that's a good
there,
point. That's too much.
There is too much boob.
But
we're going to put a poll on the page. We'll see what do people say.
I think so. When the people relive the reminiscence, they're only seeing a playback of it. So they're not able to actually change things. Where in Total Recall, the whole deal is you're actually living in that dream. Like you're going and exploring.
Oh, sure.
But hooking
up
to a machine and going back to memories and living them. That
I feel like this movie, if I went back and rewatched it, has anybody watched it twice?
No, why would you do that?
Why? He liked it. Maybe he watched it twice.
I didn't say I liked it, but I did revisit it.
It's okay if you liked it. We don't think less of you just because you liked something we didn't. I felt like if I went back and rewatched this, though, I feel like it cheated with the memories because they talk about how you only remember the things you focused on. So, like, you can't, explore a world. And I feel like there are things we see in these memories once you kind of know for sure what's going on that he wouldn't know. Or
it's the old Jaws 4 thing?
Yeah.
Where she walks in on the memory that she didn't
have? There for? Yeah.
I don't know if it's so much only the things that you focus on, but so in the beginning, Rebecca Ferguson comes in
he literally says that.
He says that.
Right, but what I take it as is Rebecca Ferguson, when she comes in, and spoiler, as we're going to get to very soon here, is that the whole thing's a setup, as it is in these noirs a lot of times. The woman walks in and has this problem, but she's really trying to do something else nefarious. So she comes in under the ploy of, I lost my keys. And so she drops them earlier before one of her shows. And so he goes back in the memory and sees that. But Hugh Jackman and Tandy Newton say, if you remember dropping them, if you remember where you lost them, or if you misplaced them, that's fine. But if you lost them and you have no idea where, you're not going to have the memory of remembering it because you just straight up lost them. And so I take that as not like you have to super concentrate and it has to be your happiest or best memories or like most important. I just took it as, well, if you didn't see it, you can't remember it, right? So yeah. Like it's not so much just like it has to be. I think that anything that they experienced pretty much and were looking at and focusing on, they could remember it. But if you never looked behind you, it can't really create a memory of something right behind you.
But he also says that when you go and relive those memories, you tend to focus on the same things you focused on the first time. And so like you almost have to do it like repeatedly before you finally kind of break out of that cycle of just always focusing on the thing that drew your attention.
Sure, that makes sense.
I actually like the idea that like you can't, when they get to a scene where they've got a suspect they're trying to interrogate after he's, not only is he dead?
Well, he's not dead. He's like a vegetable.
He's only mostly dead.
Mostly dead, yeah.
That's why he goes through his pockets for loose change.
he's in a coma.
But I do like that so Hugh Jackman is trying to, so the deal is he has this relationship with Rebecca Ferguson and then she just disappears and he's flabbergasted and distraught and he's constantly trying to figure out what happened or why she's gone.
Like they were in love, things seemed great, there was no sign of them
she just poofs and disappears. So he's doing this interrogation with the district attorney and all of a sudden he's doing this memory and he sees her 5 years ago in this bar in New Orleans, and instead of focusing on the suspect, he starts doing different stuff and trying to watch Rebecca Ferguson and see what she's doing. The problem is, because he's doing that, the investigator, the circuit attorney investigator, gets fed up and starts asking questions that this dude would not have the answers to. So he's basically frying his brain.
That's a really interesting concept.
Where it's like you have to ask them questions that they would have memories of. Because if you ask a question that they don't have a memory of,
their mind tries to go there and can't.
It erases the brain. So I was like, oh, dang, like there are some really interesting.
I also like that if you revisit the same memory too much, it burns into your brain,
which we get later, too.
Like an image on a screen.
Yeah.
You know,
I think both of those concepts are very high concepts and they work in this. But unfortunately, they're in not a great movie.
I think all the concepts and the idea of them going back in memories and especially solving crimes, I think that's really fascinating. Yeah. I think all that works. I just think the dialogue, and I do agree that the central mystery is not that interesting. Because when they got there, when they got there, I was like, oh, yeah, is that... Cooper, is it? It's the other guy that kind of looks... I always confuse this guy with Chris Cooper. What's the guy's name?
Brett Cullen?
Yeah, that's him. Yeah, thank you.
But he
has a very similar Chris Cooper look to him.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, oh, he's in this, and oh, he was saying these things. Like I had basically forgotten because I'm like, oh, they're a whole part of this mystery. I didn't even, when they went to go see the wife who the Brett Cullen character had died, I was like, who is she? Whose husband? And I'm like, oh, that guy from the beginning. Like, it just did not keep me hooked enough. And I think the editing was a little bit messy in parts to where they kind of jumped from one thing to another. And it didn't feel really cohesive to where I was just not catching everything.
I was going to say their explanation for this is something I love. Ironically, I say that because once they get to the place where it's like, I'm going to leave the spoilers out of here.
No, spoil it. That's why we're here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. So when his character dies and they show up and there's like all the people outside his house, Watts, Thandiwe Newton, she's like, you've been so absorbed with this case, you have no idea what's going on in the rest of the world. And I was like, that's a nice way to basically be like, we're not explaining any of this as to what's happening. Like, it's like, because it really feels like corners were cut to just accompany like the central mystery story. And I'm like, no, wait, what the hell? There's riots on the streets, fires all over. It's like, Westworld season 3's ending is taking place. What the hell is
right?
How do you set a city underwater on fire?
It's a great question.
Lots of questions.
Yeah. So he's trying to work this case.
You know, in all honesty, I wonder, like, maybe this would have been a better TV show.
I thought that when this thing ended, I was like, this needs to be six episodes.
Yeah.
Flesh everything out. This would have been a really good, prestige HBO Max.
This
TV
time
show.
You can say flush everything out because of the water.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah, flush. Yeah, flush it. Just flush the whole thing. This is season...
That's what they should have done. Why didn't they just pull the handle and make it go down the drain?
Do you have a pull handle?
Well, it's just a funnier visual, I think.
That'd be awesome.
Did you hide a gun behind that?
Sometimes.
So he's working the case and he ends up going to, this was actually, I think, the best scene of the movie, going to New Orleans, confronting the mob boss, and gets into a bit of trouble. Tandy Newton, who was in the war. Tandy Newton and Hugh Jackman are in the war. Right. I say that with quotes because we don't know what the hell we're talking about.
We don't know what the war is. We're supposed to be intrigued.
Yeah. But she can't shoot. Like, she has to be drunk to shoot. And I was like, that's kind of a fun concept in a comedy.
Her line where she says, "I just shoot the guy on the right," I thought that was a great line.
I think it's a good line. Right? I do agree. But it's just like, it doesn't fit in this movie. Right, like,
I don't know. I feel like kind of the mysterious, grizzled detective type character with a past that's kind of shaky and drinking to drown their past. I mean, I feel like that character kind of fits in.
Steady as a rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my shooting hand.
Right, see, that's a direct inspiration.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I feel like that character works. I really like...
No, I think... And then Tandy Newton, I think, is a fantastic actress as well. But there's a very cool... This is a nice little shootout in this bar, and I do like where she shoots through the tank that they're shoving Hugh Jackman's head into. Of course, the tank explodes. And he was like, "Hey, that was a good shot." He's just like, "Yeah, I was aiming for the guy."
And yeah.
It just happened.
That was good. Because when she did it, I go, "That was smart," because he's drowning. Shoot the tank so the water goes out.
Right.
And I like that they addressed it, that was a happy accident.
Trying to shoot the guy.
That action sequence was great. I do want to say, in this movie, the action sequences and the hand-to-hand combat was phenomenal.
Yep.
Yeah. You know how when we watch a Liam Neeson action movie and they cut a million times or whatever?
It's the Jason Bourne problem.
I mean, this was Hugh Jackman hitting and taking hits, and the camera did not cut.
Like, yeah, it works in the Bourne movies
because it's Paul Greengrass.
Well, because they're not using the style to hide the fight choreography.
Right, impacting. It's
synced up to the fight choreography. Where pretty much all the other movies that try to emulate that, they use that to hide the fact that they didn't really choreograph.
Neeson doesn't
the fight.
Get punched in the face.
Yeah,
I was impressed though. It reminded
There's the scene. I'm trying. Who's the guy that he fights? He fights one guy.
Cliff Curtis.
The copper. The ex-cop.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That was awesome. That was a great fight.
That
scene,
one, too. I mean, and that's where you really get to see it. But any time where there's hand-to-hand stuff or Hugh Jackman's just beating up some randos at the mob boss's house.
Yeah.
Is like the hits, you felt the impact, they didn't cut away, and you could really see Hugh Jackman in camera punching and taking the punches. I mean, the way that they choreographed it.
Okay, here's your wrestling corner.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Just real quick. So back in the day, they would do like these guest hosts.
Have they ever been real quick?
That's fair. these guest spots on Raw. So Hugh Jackman showed up on Monday Night Raw as like the guest host of the show to promote whatever. And the big client, you know, the big thing on the main, he's going to punch one of the wrestlers. Like, that's he's going to jump up on the apron and throw a punch.
Right.
And sometimes when that happens, right, it's just like, oof, that was not good. But when Hugh Jackman does it, even on live TV, I'm like, did he actually punch that guy?
Because
like,
he comes from theater.
Right.
Right.
Like, and it works.
It marries his two talents, which are action movies and theatrical production,
yes.
Live theater.
And it worked perfectly. Go look it up. He punches Dolph Ziggler in the face. Dolph Ziggler sells the crap out of it. It's great.
So
I'm going to add it. Now give us the quick wrestling corner.
Okay. Yeah. Ooh, touche. So the fight stuff, I thought, really looked good. All those action sequences worked really well. The music, I mean, you've got Ramin. How do you say his name? Is it Ramin Djawadi?
Ramin Djawadi.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. He's the Westworld composer.
Oh,
so
is
she
he?
Brought him in to score
okay,
it.
Okay.
Thought the music went well with the film and the feel of it. So that was really good. There are definitely good parts and good concepts in this, but where it really failed, I think, was the script.
Yeah.
It just wasn't
a very unfocused movie.
Yeah. It just the way that
unfocused is the best way to describe
it.
Yeah,
there were a lot of cool concepts strung together that just didn't feel like it all came together in the end. So that is perfect. And that's why, with all the talent behind it, I wish that we just could have had
a little bit
more of a intriguing premise. That case just did not do it for me. I don't know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
That whole,
it was by the numbers, like with the exception of the turn at the end. Right. Like, so we find out that the real estate guy was sleeping with Charlotte
Clementine
from Westworld. They have a kid who is going to, like, you know, inherit, you know, now there's a bastard son. So the dirty cop has been hired to kill.
Angela Serafin is that actress.
Oh, really?
I couldn't think of her name.
She related to Peter?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I have no idea.
So she's the dirty cop who is the buddy from Dr. Sleep. He was Ewan McGregor's buddy from Dr.
Cliff Curtis. Cliff Curtis.
What is it?
Cliff Curtis.
Cliff Curtis. Yeah.
He's in everything. He's a really good I don't know if you call him a character actor, but
I would say he's a character actor.
He's, yeah. He shows up and stuff. Like, he's one of those, I know that guy because he's been in a million
movies. Sure, sure. So he's hot. He's a dirty cop. He's hired to kill Clementine and the son.
He's
and
covering
we, and
up
what we
all
assume
the evidence
is for the real estate guy, right? Because he's messed up and now he's got this extra kid out there. Shockingly enough, that's not what we get. It's the son of the realtor guy who refuses to share.
Because this guy, because the business guy's dead.
Yes, he dies.
And his wife, you would think, well, she's going to get the money, but she's...
So this is my interpretation of that, is she has relived that memory so many times, she's stuck
burned.
There.
Yeah.
Right?
She got burned.
That's what it is,
yeah,
right?
Definitely.
Man, I didn't know what was happening. When Hugh Jackman walks onto that property and everybody's wearing the same thing, I was like, what the hell are we doing?
That's a great moment, though, of like the
what are we
WTF.
Doing?
Yeah. That's a great, why are they all
that's
walking
a good
around
Westworld moment.
And you see that because the wife of the real estate guy was burned, that she is reliving this moment and needs constant... You know, she needs the person
that
to play the husband.
Reaffirmation that he's still around.
Yeah, or else her light world would just break down, right. I guess, would just dissolve. Yeah.
What are the odds that the whole mystery revolved around this subplot that had nothing to do with anything else? It was just like, whoa.
Shocking! So we find out that Rebecca Ferguson isn't, like, she gets hooked on this drug. She gets out and away from this drug dealer who's the bad guy that we
hydrochloric
see.
One.
Hydrochloricone. Hydrochloricone with the horse tranquilizer.
Yeah.
She gets. That's
was
why
it Joe Saint Joe was the name
is it
of the
Saint
character.
Joe?
Yeah, they call him Saint Joe.
Who is that guy? I've seen that guy before.
Daniel
too.
Wu.
Daniel Wu.
Was he on Westworld?
He was in. I'm trying to think what you. He was in Tomb Raider. The
yep. Oh no, he's he's the buddy in
Alicia
Tomb Raider.
Alicia Vikander.
Yeah. He's the friend in Tomb Raider.
And then a bunch of other stuff. But yeah.
I remember not one thing about Tomb Raider.
That was a good movie.
Bella just rewatched it.
Oh, okay. So
I just yeah.
That's like, good. That's one of the better video game adaptations.
It's a low bar.
I know, but it is good.
Yeah. Where he gets her hooked on this drug. She gets
and I like this concept, right? So the love interest disappears and you find out that her past is not what, you know, you didn't really know what the deal was with her. You don't know anything about her old life. You see these memories and she's running with a drug dealer and she's with him. And then she, you know, steals these drugs or whatever. I mean, I think there's a really interesting premise.
There is. I agree.
And I think it's just where it all came down to is that the whole movie was really about a cover up for this affair that I just did not care about.
Yeah.
And when I'm not invested in those characters or that affair storyline, and it was something that it was hardly even memorable from when the movie started and
right.
they were alluding to these things to where when it was that big letdown of, oh, that's what this movie's about?
Yeah.
And I like the I like where they landed. I like to well, where, the, oh, she's not really a bad guy.
But that's usually not the way, right? Like usually in these flicks, the gal is the bad guy where Humphrey Bogart's like, go screw. Right? Like,
sometimes.
Am I wrong about that? But they never rehabilitate that femme fatale. She's always the bad guy.
But I like that this in this case, she wasn't. Yeah,
she wasn't the bad guy at all. Like, right. She made a bad decision, but because of her relationship with Nick, right? That was mm-hmm. his name. She has a change of heart and she goes back. She's going to tell him what's going on. And unfortunately, she gets.
I don't think she had a change of heart. I mean, she was never bad. She was.
But she was bad. She was playing him from the start. And
but
then,
wasn't she being blackmailed into
yeah,
it?
Yeah, she was like at gunpoint.
He said, you stole this guy's drugs. If you don't want me to turn you into him and he does whatever he does to torture you and kill you, you're going to go.
But then why not just tell Nick that?
She's under the watch of the mob that's going to murder her and him. Like,
no.
The cop was watching over her.
It's the BVS problem, right? It's any problem, honestly. Where it's
elaborate.
Like, where it's like, okay, so in Batman versus Superman. Lex has Superman's mom, right?
Yeah.
Where he's like, go fight Batman or I'm going to kill her. And it's like, all Superman has to do is be like, hey, he's got my mom. Can we not do this and go get my mom? Problem solved. Oh, by the way, my mom's name is Martha.
He starts shooting at him and that's...
Yeah, but he's so. Superman. Like, who gives a... He'd be like, hey, can you not do that and just listen to me
right.
for a second?
But no, I don't think in this case that's the same thing. This is a movie where this...
See, you made him walk away. Come on.
I do that every episode. It's all right.
This woman stole the drugs from the mob. She has now gotten rid of them, sold them, destroyed them, whatever. The guy that's working for the mob is going to kill her, turn her in to be tortured and have and kill everyone she knows, Hugh Jackman and company and everything, or she can work for him. And I think it's believable in this storyline because in this movie world that
I just feel
she's
like,
not going to tell him because it's like
I feel like there's no point where like there are points where they are alone. and Creepy McGillicuddy isn't like watching over them, because he is. You're right. He is watching over them when they do like the little like flashback to like all of the memories together.
Yeah, he
you
went
see
and found
him in
when,
the background.
Well, yeah,
like,
and
stuff.
And when he goes and beats up Hugh Jackman, stop, she's gone. And you're like, what is this? Who is this guy now? Mysterious. He always has the hood up. You don't know
yeah,
who it
his
is.
Because St. Joe burned his face yeah. off or whatever. So, yeah. So
these are people you don't mess with. So I think it's very believable that Rebecca Ferguson agreed to play Hugh Jackman. And then she genuinely fell in love with him. So there is no redemption, like as in she was doing bad things. She was completely away from that old life and did what she had to do.
And she got
do.
Pulled. Yeah. I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying communication, Kevin.
Well, then we wouldn't have a movie.
If I can instill any advice, communication.
I get it.
Yeah, these two down Lost all the time. Lost wouldn't exist if they had just asked each
other
the
question.
If anybody at any point had been like, "But why are you doing that?" They'd be like, "Oh, here's why I'm doing that. Oh, well, geez, I can help you with that." It would be four episodes long.
The end.
Yeah.
So she realizes that this guy's going to kill. Has already killed Clementine. He's going to kill the kid. Rebecca Ferguson takes the kid. It runs away with him, and then she ends up. It's so stupid. This is the part where I was like, "Oh, fuck you!" Hmm. Where like Hugh Jackman ends up capturing the bad guy, the dirty cop, mm-hmm. and has to replay his memories. And of course, now she divulges the entire plan in code, sort of.
I loved this idea.
I thought this was kind of dumb.
I thought it was great.
She's never going to see Hugh Jackman again, the love of her life. She wants him to know that she did not betray him. She was doing this to protect this child. It was like the way to kind of redeem herself from the past things she's done, and she knew she had to save this kid. And so there's no way before she dies she's going to be able to tell him that. So she knows that he will find her or hunt her down and find the bad guy. And by acting it out to him, it becomes one of his memories. I thought that was a really clever way to do it.
Probably the best scene of the movie for me, actually.
Oh, yeah. Right on. Okay.
I just thought that was brilliant. That's really clever.
Okay.
How else would she have ever... Hugh Jackman have ever figured out what happened if she didn't...
I don't think she would have figured out... He wouldn't have figured out where the kid was.
Yeah. Which was her goal.
Which was
the
goal.
The kid,
yeah. That's
fair.
I thought it was
touching, too. She acted it out, and Hugh Jackman steps into the reminiscence and gets to have a final moment with her. And because she acted out to the bad guy, perfect. I thought that was a really neat
moment. Like, the guy's like, "What the hell are you doing?"
She says, "I love you."
Yeah, he's like,
"Nick.
Who's Nick?" Right.
And then he realizes, and she ends up killing herself.
Well, he has given her a massive dose
of the drugs,
hydrochloroquine.
Baca.
Thank you. And then like she kills herself. Like she jumps off of like a cliff, or not a cliff, but like a ledge.
He says the unfiltered Baca is kind of like a truth serum. Like she'll be so drugged up, she'll say anything. Also, he could take her to one of these pods. I'm sure there's nefarious people, just like, you know, Hugh Jackman's running his operation. There's the big corporate ones. You know that some bad guys are getting memories out to let me get into your bank vault or whatever. Yeah. There's just got to be nefarious ones. So
sure.
Anything she knows, he can get to one way or another. So she knows she has to die to, you know,
so she won't divulge. Well, because she kind of hints her. She gives Hugh Jackman a message that only he would understand about where the kid is.
Yeah. Because if she's dead, he can't get to her memories in the machine.
Correct.
And the drugs, she won't be an issue. She'll be dead. So, you know what I mean? Like, killing yourself was the only way to erase that memory.
Hey, you remember when we saw that movie with Michael Fassbender where she was like the other detective and then they kill her within the first 30 minutes? You're like, wait a minute.
Is that the snowman?
The snowman.
Yeah. She was in that?
She's the other detective. She's like the rookie detective. You know the crazy thing about that? That character is in all the books.
they killed her
in like the first movie based on the third book, and they killed her off.
Yeah. So I really like that again, that so the memory died with her, the secret died with her, yet it became his memory, and Hugh Jackman was able to get the information and have a moment he could live forever with her, like a nice romantic moment. So to me, I think it played on all those levels, and it is one of the better things.
And
in
he ended the story in the middle.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we said five times.
Yeah, right. So the cops show up. They take the son into custody. They take the land developer's son into custody. They rescue the boy. We get a flash.
I like that moment, too. It was kind of a pretty dark moment, but Hugh Jackman goes to the son and the mom who's reliving the same memory and is like...
I mean, this was the Hugh Jackman. I was like, yeah, get him, buddy.
This confrontation. Like, this is where in the detective movie, you know, he lays out the whole thing and tells the bad guy he knows everything that he did. And he puts a gun down on the table knowing the guy will grab it. And he's like, shoot me, but you won't do that. And then he's like, so you have two options, like shoot me or you can shoot yourself so you don't go to jail forever. And he's like... he's like, you've never take...
You make somebody else do your dirty work for you.
Yeah. Thank you. And I thought that was really nice that he like holds the gun to his head and the mom starts counting.
He's pointing hard at first.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like, man, that's tough.
And the mom starts counting like, oh my God, is she going to count down him killing himself? And then like at three, he just cries. And
I thought it was going to be unloaded.
Well, I thought that was like the trick of it, but I think it's darker and better that it was loaded, and also telling that like this kid's a coward. He would never even.
He's yellow.
Yeah.
I genuinely believe
that it was unloaded. I genuinely believe there's no bullets in there.
Do you think the top wobbled?
Yeah. I don't know. Just something about that scene. I was like, there's no way he walked in with that loaded gun and gave it to him because he had nothing to lose.
He had nothing to lose. Hugh Jackman.
Which is true.
I mean, and again, we could argue it either way. It's just I feel like at this point, because after this scene, Hugh Jackman goes to Tandy Newton and says, hey, you're going to have to hear my confession to this crime.
And she's like, ah, you jerk.
Yeah. The crime being that he burned someone, which she says that will give you more time than murder. So using these machines to make someone relive a traumatic experience for the rest of their life, turning them into this just,
I guess, like
perpetual state of horrible.
So yeah, what he does is he burns the dirty cop. Like he makes him relive the memory of him actually getting burned, like physically burned over and over and over.
Yeah.
He can't go past like 35.2 or whatever. He turns it all the way up to 11.
Because this guy is responsible for the death of the woman he loved. And so he has nothing to lose. And he did that, confesses to it. So he's going to be going to jail. Luckily, you know, they clean it up pretty quick. And he says, well, they gave me time, but it was only 4 years because I helped. Because he did help track down like this Joe's operation and all this stuff. So.
Right. So then we flash forward. Well, I guess, do we flash forward?
He comes back 4 years later.
It does say 4 years later?
Crime tapes all over the reminiscence machine, and he plays it, and you see that moment where he's up on this tower, and he's telling her about this story, and she said they compare it to a love story, and she's like,
yeah, but all fairy tales end poorly or whatever.
Well, he says that there's no such thing as happy endings. Yeah. So he tells her a story that ends in the middle.
Ends in the middle.
Which is, you know.
And then we flash forward again, I guess, or we just flash back. And
so their story that he's reliving ends, I guess, in the middle. So he can relive everything up until the happy middle over and over. And we find out that the whole movie has been old man Hugh Jackman in the tank and Grandma Tandy Newton comes and visits. I want to know, how do they feed him?
I believe it's Grandy Newton.
Oh, Granny Newton.
Yeah.
Who's feeding him in that tank for decades?
He's got to be pruny as F.
Well, yeah, the water thing. And because
who's filtering the poop out of that?
That's what I'm saying.
Bath?
I guess if you're taking, though, like if you just hooked up to an IV and
I
you don't,
think
and
if
he's
got to
have, he's got to have.
If you're
food
in a vegetative
and
state and they got you on a food tube, I guess that's true, you're still going to
poop.
You're still going to be pooping it out.
Now, they allude that. Now, I understand in the more high-tech, the corporate ones, like you see someone and basically it's a way to keep your loved one alive without pulling the plug and burying them because it looks like a coffin is what they're living in.
That seems terrible.
They're like, they'll relive these happy memories. They'll be very comfortable and they're just watching this person in the clear box and the memories they're seeing.
My God.
So
Kill me.
I know. I get that they have a system probably for the feeding and all that, but his was not meant for a full-time thing. So I just want to know how, I don't know. It's a small thing.
I assume he goes in the morning, steps in, gets out in the evening, goes to sleep at home.
Oh yeah.
It's like I assumed as much. You know?
I thought they just left him in there.
It definitely looks like he's been there.
Sandwich for 10 minutes, you guys.
Yeah,
I feel like they're trying to say that he just is always in there because he's unshaven.
Yeah,
like if he
was.
Yeah, but
he would. We've seen Hugh Jackman not shave.
Someone's got
that dude would have a massive beard.
Someone's got to be tidying up. Yeah, because the stubble and the gray hair is unkept, but. It's not the 10 years.
Are you telling me that Hugh Jackman, if he doesn't shave for 4 years, is going to be like, oh, I got this sweet,
that's
sweet
what I'm,
stubble?
That's what I'm saying. It's a little bit. It's a little too cute of an ending to where you're just like, just throwing a line about who's taking care of him.
I guess
him.
They like, couldn't show like.
I have a bigger stubble right now than
he. Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay. No just, need to brag. Okay, we get it. Very manly beard.
Humble brag.
I guess. Yeah. I guess they don't want to show like disheveled, atrophied gray-haired Hugh Jackman at the end of this movie.
All you need is a line about someone's actually taking care of him. I'm just saying it would have been nice to have a little bit more of the logistics about how he's been there so long in that tank that wasn't meant for long-term use. And that, you know, it just would have been you know what I mean? It's not the biggest
totally
problem in the movie, but it was a little weird when I'm like, oh, he's been in there for a decade or two? Like, how does
that
work?
Man, he looks really well kept and in shape.
Yeah, right. Yeah. How does that work? He would be so skinny.
He would be, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
My aunt has had the same car for 13 years and it runs fine. So, so
yeah, it was. I think this was a solid feature film directorial debut for Lisa Joy.
I don't think so. I think she's a very smart person. I think she's.
Does she direct episodes of Westworld?
She's directed episodes of Westworld, so it's not like she's never directed anything. But for a feature film debut, I think it was too ambitious. This is a movie
trying to do
a lot, and it's not. I mean, if I tried to make this movie, I would not make a perfect movie. I'm not saying it'd be The Room. Yeah, it's not saying it's anything against Lisa Joy because I think she is very smart and a very good creator. But to cut your teeth on this movie and this concept that's trying to do so much, it just felt to me a little overly ambitious. And I wish it were better because this is one of my most anticipated of the year. Seriously.
I would agree with that. I was definitely looking forward to it.
And it just kind of fell flat.
I don't know. It was swinging. I think, you know, I guess I feel like it was she gave it a go. She got this project that you said has been kicking around since 2013. You know, she got it made. And it's interesting how there's been some kind of stinkers on the streaming services that we're just kind of like, I wonder, have any
of these HBO Max movies that were intended for theatrical release been good?
I think Suicide Squad.
The Suicide Squad.
Okay, that
Kong
was
versus
Kong,
Godzilla. Godzilla versus Kong was fine. Okay. It was an action movie.
But you're talking about like the prestige stuff.
I liked Mortal Kombat for what it was. I'm not saying. But for this audience, I think they all enjoyed it. That it was meant
for. I would agree with Kong and Suicide Squad. Yeah. But beyond that, like most of these, I'm like, they deserve to be on a show.
What was that
service.
One with the Rami Malek? Where they're like, hey, we're
kind of little things.
And Denzel Washington. And,
That was swing and a miss.
Yeah.
So what do you, Sharia, what do you think? Final thoughts on this one?
Okay, so, I already did a review of this, so shameless plug right there. you got to do it right. I was all over the place, actually. I think it's fascinating concepts, and the way it's built up that world, great. Performance-wise, I thought they were good. I mean, if we can talk about whether the characters worked in terms of, like, the performances a long time, like, we can have that discussion differently. But, you know, I think all of the aspects were there. But I said this back then, I'll say it again. I feel like this needed to be a limited series.
Yeah.
I just feel like this needed 6 episodes. And since it's already on HBO Max, I was like, this would have been a great way to like flesh out that story because parts of it felt like they were, I don't know how to put this. Like there were parts of it which felt like an offshoot of Westworld season 3. Like if you've seen it, you know, like it felt like it felt like there was that world building in there. I go back to that part where it's like you're missing out on so much that's happening in the world. It's like there's so much happening that they just hint at. They just explain like a little bit, a line here and there. And yeah, I just felt it was kind of unfocused at the end of it. So yeah, kind of a mixed bag for me at the end.
Yeah, I think multiple episodes would also help them kind of, I don't know, hide the fact that the narrative structure, the subplot was obviously always going to be what we were going to loop back to for the mystery.
Sure.
We only had one choice, right?
Like,
you really only had one suspect as to what was driving it. And so.
Right. There was no red herring, really.
Yeah.
There was no, you know, oh, it
well,
could have
been. Well, you think it's the dad at one point, but then the dad's dead.
Okay, you know? I get it, but it just it wasn't intriguing enough to where you're like, oh, maybe
it was
it's
a
so...
very straight line.
Yeah.
Straight line.
Exactly. Yeah. In those other noirs that we've mentioned, there's so much to throw you off and what's going on. And this one, it was anticlimactic because you're like, well, yeah, it was one of the only 3 other people in this movie.
Right.
That's the problem is there's not enough going on to where it was just like, yeah, it has to be one of these people. And it wasn't maybe the first one you thought or the one they're trying to suspect at first. But at the end of the day,
you knew it was always going to loop back around to that.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
yes, correct.
And so it just that made it feel anticlimactic to me. But
yeah,
But well, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. You can follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And Sharia, where can everybody find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Sharia Chabla. That's my name. And you can also find me on YouTube under the same name. That's where I do all the reviews and stuff. And I reviewed Reminiscence there, which I will plug again.
Please do. So, what you're here for, man.
Yeah, he'd check out his YouTube reviews and subscribe. He does really great reviews, and not just movies either, but television and video games. So I really enjoy that channel, and I think all our listeners would as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, and thank Kevin for promoting me all the time. Like, I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. It's good. It's great work.
Oh, and then I'm Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and don't forget our Patreon, Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. So that's it for this one. Is there an obvious choice for next week?
Or is it Candyman?
Oh, yeah. I guess that would be the obvious choice.
Yeah. Just don't say it four more times.
What, Candyman?
Candyman.
Candyman?
There we go. Does it count if different people say it?
I don't know. I've always questioned.
That was four.
Yeah. I always questioned along those lines. Same thing with Beetlejuice. What's the time period in between? Yeah. When does it reset?
That's a great question. What if you stutter?
Oh, that's well.
How does that affect it?
You didn't say the whole word though. I said your words. Maybe not every syllable, but I said them.
What if you have Tourette's and Candyman
then you're in trouble.
Yeah. So I don't know. I've never seen it. I never saw the
first
one.
The first one's fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I would recommend honestly. I think you need to watch it. I think.
Is this like technically a sequel?
Pseudo sequel, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Soft sequel?
Yes, soft sequel.
Gotcha.
Soft
okay,
sir.
So there.
Ooh,
tasty. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Mal commits suicide.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.